Would you pray with me, please? Father, may your spirit fill this room, for we welcome you with joy. Move powerfully in our hearts. Give us the hunger to know you better. Open our eyes to see you at work and our ears to listen to your voice. Stir our very souls. Amen. Trust is a wonderful thing, but sometimes trust is hard. When we place our trust in God, it means we give up control. We want things to go our way. We think we know what's in our best interests, but many times we're wrong. I want to share a story that's been on my heart for a long time, a story that's not really easy for me to share, but I feel the need to share it. Ecclesiastes 1:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. It's now my time to share. This story is not about me or my good friend, Beth Wanamaker. The story is all about God. He is the author and the main character. God is the hero here. My story is a chronological one. It's like following a diary or a calendar of events that takes me from the beginning to the end of this particular encounter with God. Beth and I had been friends for about 15 years. We would spend our noon hours walking the sidewalks of Archbold, talking, sharing, laughing, and critiquing Christmas decorations on our way. We both knew the bathroom stops that were necessary on our journey. Beth joined my sister Chick Bible study, and as time passed, our friendship deepened. Beth had been recently diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Beth was an extrovert, an inspiration. She had an enthusiastic attitude toward life. Beth loved her family. She loved people. Beth loved entertaining, and Beth loved Christmas. She was a positive role model for everyone she met, and especially for me. This story really begins in 2012. I was asked to present a lesson on bullying to our own St. John's Junior High Youth Fellowship. While waiting for them to arrive in the fireside room, I glanced at the books on the library shelf. I pulled out a workbook by John Ortberg called, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Need to Get Out of the Boat. I took it home and reviewed the first several chapters and thought it might be a good study for the Sister Chicks, a ladies' Bible study I was hosting at the time. However, in the fall, I chose a different title for our study, and in January and February, Julie Roofer and Anne Grimm graciously volunteered to lead the Courageous Study series, giving me a break. I was thinking the Courageous Study was 6 weeks in length, but discovered it was only 4, so I needed to get another study around quickly for the chicks. There lay John Ortberg's workbook. So the decision was promptly made and books were ordered and the study began. Here's a short synopsis of the book. There is always a call. God asks ordinary people to engage in acts of extraordinary trust, that of getting out of the boat. Every person has a decision to make. Sometimes the response is affirmative, and sometimes the opposite. Either way, the decision always changes a life, and it changes the world. We need to remember one thing. Simply get out of the boat. Wednesday, March 20th, 2013. Lisa Ashelman, kindergarten teacher at Pettisville, and I often talked at our lunch about different series we were using in small groups and Sunday school classes. I've used several of her suggestions in the past for our chick study, and she and I were on the same wavelength when it came to topics. She mentioned she had a book called The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson that she thought I would like. Lisa said the book was all about prayer. My inside, the brain thought, oh, goody, not. Not my usual medical thriller. She did mention that she usually does not lend books out to a lot of people, especially books she really likes. So she'd like it back when I'm finished. And the following day, she brought the book in. Monday, March 25th. Chick's group met this evening. One question asked during the session was, what regrets do you have in your life? When my turn came to respond, I shared that my one regret was that I was not a risk taker. I like things to run smoothly. I like calm. I like to be organized. I don't like curveballs. I don't like surprises. I like control. Tuesday, March the 26th. This evening, I finished the fiction book I was reading and was looking for another possible book to start. My heart was not in mood for the prayer book, but I wanted to give Lisa some feedback and return the book to her as soon as possible. So I began to read The Circle Maker, and I loved the message. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. Miracles are the byproducts of prayers that were prayed by you or for you. The size of prayers depends on your size of God. And if your God knows no limit, then neither should your prayers. Then I turned the page. It was page 43, and at the bottom, handwritten, were these words. Take a risk that requires that God shows up, Nancy. Take a risk that requires that God shows up, Nancy. Boy, did that sentence impact me. Why would Lisa write this message? It's as if she were at the chick meeting the night before when I mentioned I was not a risk taker. Wednesday, March the 27th. I approached Lisa this morning and asked if she had printed a personal note for me in her book. She replied, no, she had not. So I whipped out the book and turned to page 43, showing her the handwritten words. She just laughed. She responded that when she was involved in this particular study, Nancy Bontrager, who was in the group, made this statement several times. Lisa asked her to repeat it once more so she could write it down. The Nancy was Lisa's reminder as to who made the comment. Take a risk that requires that God shows up, Nancy. I could have sworn that comment was specifically written for me, the non-risk taker. Monday, April 1st, Sister Chick tonight. After presenting lesson 4 of If You Want to Walk on Water, my encouragement to the girls was, step out of the boat this week. Take a risk. Do something out of the ordinary. Surprise yourself. And next Monday evening, I'm going to ask you what that something was. Tuesday, April 2nd. I went to the home restaurant for my usual oatmeal with raisins, along with the book The Circle Maker in hand, and I continued to read. All of a sudden, I became overwhelmed with emotion. The tears would not stop coming, and the words on the printed page seemed to be written just for me. I pulled myself together and headed to the church to put up the new message on the outdoor signboard. I then decided that if Adam Just was in his office, I would stop and recommend the book to him. From the moment I walked into his space, I had this overwhelming feeling. The Holy Spirit was prompting me to do something, something, something. What was I supposed to do? I didn't have a clue. Adam was gracious and out of Kleenex, but offered me prayer and hope that I would decipher God's plan for myself. For the past several weeks, the chicks had been collecting money to purchase a gas card as a gift for Beth. We thought a gas card would help her with a little of her expenses traveling to and from chemo treatments. Earlier that morning, I had stopped at Valero to make that purchase. After my time with Adam, I went to the Archibald Middle School to deliver the card to Beth. She updated me on her chemo and health. Beth, always an inspiration. She was indeed my hero. Beth asked me how the chick meeting had gone the night before, since she wasn't there. I told her about getting out of the boat, and then once again became emotional and shared how I was positive God had a plan for me, a calling, but I didn't know what it was or what to do. She just laughed and said, "You'll figure it out." Ecclesiastes 3:6, a time to search and a time to give up. Wednesday night, April 3rd, it was 2:55 a.m. when I woke this morning. Immediately my thoughts centered on my own boat plan and how I was going to get my feet wet this week. Lisa's words from the Circle Maker came flying at me. "Take a risk that requires that God shows up, Nancy. If we seek answers, we won't find them. But if we seek God, the answers will find us." The Holy Spirit was right there, and I heard my calling. I knew what I was supposed to do. Every day, I was to make a circle of prayer around Beth. I was to go to Beth's house and circle around her home 7 times, praying and asking God for her healing. When I was physically unable to circle, I was to get down on my knees and pray for her. I don't doubt the power of God. I know He is able. I know that His plan is not always the same as my plan, but I'm convinced His plan is the best one. 100% of the prayers I don't pray won't get answered. 100% of the prayers I don't pray won't get answered. So I need to pray, pray, pray. Thursday, April 4th. This is early in the morning. I don't think I slept at all until the alarm rang at 4:50, but yet all those hours seemed like minutes. However, once I got out of bed, my thoughts completely changed. Was this a dream? Lord, You don't really expect me to follow through on this, walk around her house. The water makers will think I've lost my mind. Others will call me crazy, ridiculous. Who does something like this? I questioned the whole nighttime experience. Was this God really talking to me? I went to Fusion, did my workout, headed home to shower, dress, and headed up to the home restaurant for breakfast, along with a circle maker in hand. On my way into Archbold, God set before me a breathtaking sunrise. Rising out of the vivid red and pink colors was a tiered cloud that rose from the horizon straight up into the sky. Cloud on top of cloud on top of cloud on top of cloud. I've never noticed a cloud like that before. I've never have. I saw this as God's promise that He is connected to me and with me. It was not a dream. I had only 3 more chapters of the Circle Maker to complete as I ate my breakfast, and I read, and after the first paragraph, I was in tears. Here is the quote: "When you live by faith, it often feels that you are risking your reputation. You're not. You're risking God's reputation. It's not your faith that's on the line, it's His faithfulness. Why? Because God is the one who made the promise, and He's the only one who can keep it. The battle doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. And because the battle doesn't belong to you, neither does the glory. Bold prayers bring glory to His name, the name that is above all names. And by now, my oatmeal with raisins tasted a bit salty." Drawing prayer circles isn't about proving yourself to God. It's about giving God an opportunity to prove Himself to you. I know that He may not answer my prayers or my timeline, but He promises to answer every prayer, and He keeps every promise. That's who He is. That's what He does. Prayers are never answered early, never late. They are answered when the time is perfect. If we have the faith to dream big, pray hard, and think long, there's nothing God loves more than proving His faithfulness. But what about all these tears, Lord? I kept reading, and in the very same chapter was a verse Psalm 56:8. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. Each and every one of my teardrops is precious to God. They are his eternal keepsake. Not a single tear will be lost. He remembers each one. So this was God's plan for me. Why would I choose this particular Bible study a year ago and not use it until now? Why would Lisa, who hadn't opened the circle maker since last summer, think to share it with me? Why would I mention to be more of a risk taker? Why would Nancy Bontrager's quote be handwritten in the margin? Why would Adam be in his office when I stopped? Why would Beth say, "You'll figure it out"? Why would I awaken in the middle of the night to a heavenly encounter? Why would I read the exact words I needed to read during breakfast? Why would this particular kind of cloud be evident on this particular morning? Thursday, April 4th. Today's my first day to circle. My initial thoughts were, I'm a bit scared. I've never circled before. What exactly do I do? What exactly do I say? However, the way is clear. Take a risk that requires that God shows up, Nancy. So here I go, getting my feet wet. Ecclesiastes 3:5. A time to embrace. At this time, I was working at Pettisville Schools 3 days a week. Every noon hour, I would head out to Beth's house and circle it 7 times, praying, singing, and reading scripture. Scripture included verses like this, 1 John 5:14 and 15. And how bold and free we then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will, sure that he is listening. And if we're confident that he is listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. We know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. Mark 11:23 to 26. Embrace this God life, really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. You'll get God's everything. Isaiah 55, 9-11. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think beyond the way you think. The words that come out of my mouth will not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. One particular day, when I arrived to circle, Joel, Beth's husband, was in the yard as I pulled into the driveway. I felt a bit odd, as I hadn't told Beth or Joel what I was doing. So I thought that maybe Joel needed an explanation why I was there. So I told him that God told me to circle for Beth, and I was simply obeying. And Joel's comment was, get out of the car, keep walking. The days I wasn't at school, I did exactly what God directed me to do. I got down on my knees, and I prayed for Beth's health. Each day I prayed for God's will, not mine, but I just knew Beth was going to get better. After all, I was doing exactly what God told me to do. I was getting my feet wet. In my own fragmented thoughts, I believed that by following God's lead, Beth's life would be spared. Then on Sunday, June the 9th, came the phone call. Beth was now in God's hands. Ecclesiastes 3:2. A time to be born and a time to die. How could that be? I did exactly what God told me to do. I'll be honest when I say I was angry. Angry, very angry for God making me look foolish and believing that I could somehow save my friend. Some of the hardest moments in life are when you've prayed hard And the answer is no, and you don't know why. After days of feeling enraged and infuriated, I started evaluating the situation. Ecclesiastes 3, 4 to 5, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Sometimes the power of prayer is the power to simply carry on. It doesn't change the circumstances, but it gives us strength to walk through them. Not only did God save Beth, he saved me too. I needed to trust fully in his plan, not mine. The battle didn't belong to me, it belonged to God. My bold prayers brought glory to his name, regardless of the outcome. God was in control, and I became a more faithful follower. I still get teary-eyed when Beth comes to mind. I dearly miss my friend, but God promises to answer every prayer. I asked God to save Beth, and he did. He saved both of us. I have arrived in a place where I would not be me or be the Christian I am without these events. Terrible moments change us. They carve into our souls and make us new, uncomfortable shapes. I'll tell you now, I'm at peace with the shape I'm in, and while my heart still aches, I can say it is well with my soul. Every prayer is a time capsule. You never know when or where or how God's going to answer it, but he will answer it. There's no expiration date. And there are no exceptions. God answers prayer, period. We don't always see it or understand it, but God always answers. Like a flower peeking through the winter snow, new life will emerge from our seasons of grief. It was my life that emerged. Please pray with me. Father, there is nothing to do but worship you, praise you, rejoice in you, sing your praises, draw close to you, run to you, thank you. The depth of your love for us we cannot fathom. The grace of your forgiveness we cannot understand. You are good. You are holy. There is none like you. Renew our passion and increase our faith as we celebrate you. Amen.
As Psalm 96:8 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. May we bring our offerings before the Lord this morning. I invite our ushers to collect our tithes and offerings.
Thank you. for new ways to offer ourselves and our substance in your name. You make giving an opportunity of faith and a joy for the faithful. Accept these gifts, we pray, offered in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is Here I Am, Lord, and it can be found in the insert in your bulletin. After the spoken benediction, we will sing number 244, The Trees of the Field.
Spirit and confidence in Christ. Grow within these days to rely on the love of God and the fellowship of faith. Peace within you and among us. Amen.